privilege to be able to preach the Word of God and to preach to people that I love dearly, and I wish to give an encouragement, to give an encouragement to trust God in all things. And we know that we've been going through a trial in our nation with the COVID virus and all the things that come against us as people of faith, where they tell us to close down, open worship. But I have a word for you tonight that I think that we are to go into each day, each week, each month, each year before God with courage and trusting Him. Just to back up a little bit. That's kind of the message God gave me for tonight. But to back up a little bit, I did not expect to have a change in my work schedule, to have any privilege of being here on a Sunday night unless they scheduled me for a Sunday night, a Sunday off. And the way it's been working, I figure I'm going to have two to three Sundays in a row on working, and then maybe one, two, hopefully three Sundays in a row off so I could be in church. It's not always worked out that way. So Pastor sent me a text message Thursday morning. I'm at work Friday afternoon, and I happen to look at my phone, and here's this message. He says, "Are you working Sunday?" I could, yeah, I'm in Providence, Portland Hospital. I'm going, oh, no. But he asked if I would take the service, the message, and I said, "I'd love to, but I work. Let me see if I can work something out." And I went to my partner, my work partner on our shift, a guy who says, "I need to have my Wednesdays and my Sunday nights off." And I said, "Could you trade?" Because I noticed he was scheduled for Saturday night, and I was scheduled for Sunday night. I says, "Would you be willing to trade?" He says, "Sure. I don't have to have Sunday nights off until after the first of the year." I said, "Well, good. Well, we got to make sure that it's approved by the manager." The manager approved it. No problem whatsoever. Just make sure you show up to work. So I'm here tonight. I tell you what, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And when he wants him to do something, nothing stops it from happening. But when a person tries to do it in their own power, because of their own reasons, it's like obstacles are going to be there in the way, and God's not removing them. Earlier in the year, I tried to persuade management to allow me to have Sundays off completely, as well as my Wednesdays. And they said, no, we got to have you available on Sundays. You could ask for a week at a time. I'm going, that. So I didn't even keep trying. Well, a pastor asked if I would preach tonight. And I said, yes, if I can get the night off from work. And I did. Of course I did. I told him I'd be delighted to. I want you to consider this. God does not call us to do the impossible. He calls us to do what he has led us to do, what he's equipped us to do. And he opens the doors, and no one can shut them. He shuts doors that we're not to go through, and we're not going to be able to get that door open without a lot of wailing and moaning. And we got to remember that there are stories in the Old Testament tell us that God answered the prayer of a person to their misery. So don't tell God what to do. Tell God, "I'm here. What do you want me to do?" Opportunities come, and I appreciate it very much. You know, Mary and I, because of my work situation, have been attending the Connection Church services Sunday mornings. And Pastor Jerry started a series on courage this morning. And I thought, Lord, that's what I felt backing up. When Pastor asked if I'd consider preaching, I thought, what could I preach on? I didn't even think about Thanksgiving. I would have been diverted to another thought. But I thought, God, you give me the message. And verses kept coming to me throughout my work shift. I had no time to sit down and write them out or write the references. But God was reminding me of a half a dozen verses that I have really pondered and really thought about over the years. And I just said, okay, God, okay. When I get a chance, I will write down and I will figure out how this all works. You lead me, okay. Lord, you lead me. And I am just amazed how I really felt he really did lead me. But as I'm working there and these verses are coming to me, I'm going, oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, yes. But I did not give a message title to this. But it occurred to me that the title that seemed appropriate is Go With Courage Into the Future. Do not hold back, for God is there and he doesn't change. You know, we must be willing to go through times of burden and times of affliction in our lives, as well as those times when the burdens are lifted and we are joyous and we are in wellness. We need to be willing to go through those things. Why? Not because God's not able to take us and deliver us from it happening, but because God wills that we go through it and allows it for the greater purpose that he has planned for our lives. It wasn't too long after I started work at Home Depot that one of my colleagues knew I was a man of prayer, knew that I was a man who believed God and trusted him. And there have been several occasions in recent months where she's come and asked me to pray for her over a situation. I have done that, and the situation has worked out great for her. I appreciate having Christian fellowship. I work with two neat guys that don't necessarily get along, but are Christians, proclaiming Christians. And it's the delight to just see how we can work in harmony together. It may just be two of us at a time, but we work in harmony together. And that's what it should be between Christians when they work together in a common cause. We need each other. We need each other to encourage one another, to walk, to stand in faith, even when it seems at times discouraging. God's still there, and he wants us to say in our hearts, it is well with my soul. God wants me, and he wants you to have that confidence that we are in his hands and have that same attitude, I am the Lord's property. I'm the Lord's child. Allow me to call your attention to some verses that God brought to my mind this weekend. And mind you, it was Friday night that I get the notice that I will be preaching. And of course, I'm thinking, well, I'll be able to develop this tomorrow. Mary works Saturday. Nope. She went to work. It was the wrong day. She wasn't scheduled to work yesterday. So I'm going, okay, Lord, how am I going to do this? Because I need a little bit of solitude. The cat I can handle. But the Lord gave me these verses, and I wrote them down. And the reason I brought my Bible up here, I've written out the others, but not this three-verse passage. And I think it sets what I want to say to you pretty well. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot not sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. I have clung to that verse. Those verses for the last several years. I didn't understand the situations I was going through, and I didn't understand some of the things that led up to that. But I had confidence in God that he had things in his hands, but I wasn't sure exactly what he was working out. You watched me, some of you. You watched me. You saw those times. A little troubled, but keeping the joy of the Lord as active as possible. But I was, Lord, what do you want to do with me? What do you want me to do? And I got to tell you that the decision we made a year ago Well, it was hard for me because of knowing what my work situation would be, the scheduling led me to go ahead and start attending Connection. And it wasn't shortly afterwards, they put the four statements up here on the wall. And I was thinking of that this morning as I'm hearing Jerry preach about courage. And that's our mission as their church, that church, to know God, to find freedom, to discover purpose, and make a difference. And I've been clinging to that one for years and years and years. I want to make a difference by my life. I want the Lord to flow through me and make a difference to those I contact. Now, most of my preaching has been in the rest home. With this COVID virus that's closed down the rest home, as far as anybody coming in from the outside and speaking to the people, we could visit by phone or on the other side of the window, but that's about it. And it's like, I don't enjoy doing that. So I haven't been doing that. Discover purpose. Well, of course, that's been a lifetime pursuit for me. No problem. Lord, lead me one day at a time. Know God. Oh, well, I know God. I didn't. The fact is, I didn't know the power of God to make a difference in a person's life. I was not trusting God for finding freedom. And I had something that I had to conquer. If it hadn't been for her leaving, I would not have done it. I would not have gotten help. And that's something that I live daily in freedom because of God. So this is a reminder to me when I look at those things, when I come into the sanctuary, that God has a purpose. He helps us find freedom once we know him. And then we can go out and make a difference. But let me share the other verses. I just wanted to tell you, this one, I read Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, where it talks about Jesus being our great high priest. But listen to this. Hebrews 13, 8 reminds us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He was not somebody else back then in Judea, in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, all the places he wandered as a preacher, as declaring the kingdom of God. He's the same today as he was then, and he will be forever. Did he heal? He did, didn't he? He used different ways in which the healing came to people, but he healed people. And yet, when Peter and John went up to the house, to the temple at the hour of prayer, here was a lame man who'd been there for a long time, daily, begging alms. And they had the privilege of raising him to his feet, healed in his ankles. Where does healing come in? Healing comes in as God sovereignly moves in our lives. Any healing we have in physical healing in this life does come because of God's grace, because of God's mercy. The ultimate healing will come when we go to heaven. But praise God, we can turn to God and pray, God help me. And God will help us. Whether it's an instantaneous healing, whether it's a gradual healing, whether it's the doctor finding out what's going on and helping us with a treatment plan that brings us back to health. It's of God. He gives the ability for us to develop medicines. He gives us the ability to diagnose, to find out what's wrong. He gives those doctors wisdom. And we should praise him. We should pray to him. We should trust him every day. Every day. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And Philippians 4:13 reminds us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I understand that that is a spiritual principle. To encourage boldness. We sometimes face attacks that we're not sure we know how to handle it. That's okay, as long as we don't give up. As long as we don't give in to that fear and say, I'm not going to try. If God calls you to it, he will allow you to be able to do it. He'll give you the ability to do it. I can do all things through Christ. Last year when I was considering and being considered to learn to drive the forklift, I was a little bit, because I have this tendency to say, turn left right up here, pointing to the right. And I realized I've got a bit of dyslexia. So as I'm getting on the forklift, I'm going, oh, brother. Because at times I would start to turn it the wrong way. Well, that was the start. I could learn it. I learned how to do it. It wasn't as confident when the guy signed off on it that I knew how to do this. But with practice, I got better, and I do much better than I thought I ever would. Oh, then the reach inside forklift where you stand up and maneuver one handle over here and this over here to raise and lower the blades. And it's like, no. And I've learned that I can do it with confidence. I can go between in the aisle and I can turn. I can get the pallets off that upper reach and it doesn't fall on me. I did not know whether I could do that or not. But this first encouragement, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now that's just a physical example, but it's a physical example of what we are to be in the Spirit, in sharing our word of testimony with those around us. We can do it. Even if we're shy, even if we are an introvert, we can do it. Because God equips us to do it. Another verse that reminds us of the power of God and why we should approach life with courage. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path, your pathway. We need to cling to that. It's so easy. It's so easy for us to get into a pattern of, I understand how to do this. I'm doing just fine. I will do this. All right. If God says do it. Not all right. If God is saying no. And the one thing I found about God, he will put a block in the pathway where he doesn't want you to walk. If you're sensitive to the Spirit, and we all should be, for it's by the Holy Spirit we became born again. The Holy Spirit is not all that fancy gobbledygook. It is what was said on the day of, when Jesus was getting ready to go away. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. God empowers us to be a witness. He empowers us to be a witness, first of all, through our living. Through our living. Those around us are going to see a difference if we truly are trusting God and following him. You cannot hide your witness if it's a true salvation experience. That candle of your life is going to shine. We can choose to put it under a cover, keep it covered up. But we're not going to be powerful. We're not going to be strong. We're not going to have that power to be a witness. Do you want to please God or not? We need to please the Lord. Your first witness is through your living. People around you see that you're different. But they see that you're different in a good way. Oh, yes. When you're a teenager, other teenagers pick on you. They'll tease you for any differences you have. It continues into 20s now, I'm finding. Sometimes it's like, guys, would you just shut up and pay attention to what the other person's saying? Well, I'm finding that even with my work companions. At times, we talk about the problem instead of appreciating the person and helping him to fit in, helping him to understand why we have a little difficulty. I've got this guy I work with. He's my age. Seems so much older. He's set in his ways. But honest folks, I cannot point my finger and say, oh, look at that. He's bad. I got three fingers pointing right back at me. I'm setting my ways in some very important ways. But trying to be flexible and hear and see and understand where other people are coming from. And I tell you, it's liberating to sometimes see the enthusiasm of the young guys, and many of them are looking to me to encourage them. That's happening on my work site. And I look at what happened with this year with the school systems, and I gotta say, I thank God he brought me out from what I was doing to do this in my retirement years, because I'd be wondering, what am I gonna do tomorrow with not having in school education for these kids? And I think, God, you ordered those steps even though it hurt, even though it was hard. I didn't understand why I was being let go. I do now. It was in God's plan. I asked God, give me a place of influence. He closed my elementary school and opened it up to an alternative high school. And I'm going, oh no, Lord, I don't want to be around teenagers. I don't want to work with teenagers. Because I failed twice as a youth pastor in my younger years. The very years you'd think a guy could relate to teenagers, I couldn't. I could not relate to the teenagers that I was trying to be around. And as a pastor, that is probably the age group I failed the most for the 3 years, is I tried to do ministry with teenagers, but I did not have a strong drawing to work with teenagers. I could work with little children, and I could work with grandma and grandpas, and I did fairly well with the middle age group. Teenagers, no. So it was a fearful thing for me when I went into Oxla, and not just Oxla, but Case. The highly intelligent kids going through the STEM program, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. Thank you. Mathematics, by the way, was my strong suit in high school. I was really good at I'm not supposed to boast. So why do I not remember it? Don't know. But it was a fearful thing to me. So here I was in an alternative high school, and then I lost the job. And I said, Lord, what's going on? My wife left me. Now I've losing my job. I had three crises that year, and I don't know what to do, Lord. He just led me step by step. A good friend suggested applying at Home Depot. They're always hiring, and I got hired. And it was my third choice. Not my first, my third choice. But it's been a blessing. It has really been a blessing to shape me up physically, intellectually, show me a different way of earning a living where I'd been so used to working in a public school. And now have the opportunity to work where I'm at and have influence over those lot boys and my fellow employees in the lumber and building products. I didn't do that. God did that. So when I see this, Jesus said to his disciples just before ascending, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. That power was not the power that's wasted in worrying about miracles, worrying about faith. Those are important. Speaking in tongues, all the other rigmarole. If God wants to do it, he'll do it in you. But that's not the focus. The focus is the power. And God has spoken to my heart, and I want to impart that to your heart. Do not be afraid and do not be ashamed of your faith to go forward. We are at troubling times. Earlier in this year, the governor proclaimed closure. And I thought, how's it going to affect me in my work? And then I find out that I'm working in an essential business that would not close the doors. We limited our hours, but we didn't close the doors. And we had people coming in constantly to buy product. And we had a phenomenal first half of the year. Now, that's great for Home Depot. And there are people who lost jobs or didn't have work. And I feel bad about that. But I look at that and I'm going, oh, Lord, our freedoms are being eroded. Our freedoms are being limited. And it's going on again after some freeing. And I go, Lord, do you remember what the question was in the end of May about how our church was to function, how our church was going to function here? Can we open up to public service? Can we have the in-building meetings? Pastor Dan and Pastor Jerry Wagoner were in agreement. We will start having in-person services. Have you been able to do that yet?
Yes.
With God, praise God. And a few weeks ago, Mary and I came to the loft service. And I got to tell you, of these three churches that I'm familiar with, there's a different worship style in each of them. But I love it. It's praising God. Well, we face the dilemma of limited size. This morning, everything was set up for max 25 in here, and anyone else, there was an overflow in a separate room. And then the technology didn't all work out like they expected. So we were just a little over 25 this morning. But we had a great, wonderful service. We need to have the boldness to say, no, this is very important. But the thing is, we take our stand on what does the Word of God say, not on what our own human emotion says. But what does God say? What has He said for us to do in Hebrews? Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the custom has been, but even more so as we see the day approaching. We're seeing the day approaching of a lot more oppression, a lot more squeezing us into the world's mold if we allow it to happen. What will you do? What will I do? If it comes to people saying, you will not declare this name anymore, or you will not meet in your church building, what will you do? Each of us has to make the decision for ourselves how we conduct ourselves in this age of COVID. This virus will pass. How long it's going to take, I don't know. But it's got to pass, or we're entering into the book of Revelation and the plagues. I don't think God's ready to send Jesus back quite yet, but things are sure looking better all the time. I want to just put this challenge out to you. God's not calling us to give up or stop meeting and praying together. We are to keep on being His children and encouraging one another to walk the walk of faith. He has called us to be His witnesses to the world around us by our words and by our actions. My friend has encouraged me so much in the scriptures. He's embedded in the scriptures. He's a cranky old man, but so am I. Get me in the wrong day. But he's encouraged me in that. My other coworker, Kevin, had just by his sweet spirit and devotion to God, has encouraged me to let the light shine even more. And we work well together. I have several others that I just, oh, Lord, thank you for having a chance to work with them. But I think about Andy, leading our music. I appreciate this guy. We had a vacuum, and we needed, and he came. He was available. And we worship God. We worship Christ every Sunday evening. I appreciate that. And I'm glad that we can be here, Mary and I, and that Dan is anointed of the Lord. Even with the health problems, he does his best to be an encouragement to all of us. And we need to pray for him because he's someone very important in our lives. We need encouragement from the pulpit as well. We need the encouragement from the pews. Lord, use me however you want to use me today. You know, I referred to this earlier. Now I will get directly to it. Just as the Lord instructed the fathers to talk to about the Lord's good deeds to their children in all of life's activities, so should we be shedding God on those around us. I use that term shedding because my cat right now is either pulling his fur out or shedding. And I'm finding tufts of fur hair all over the place. Now, we've got this nice little glove that he loves that. Now, he's found he doesn't have to fear it, that it actually feels good. But he sheds hair. In the same way, we should shed God on those around us. I refer to the passage back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'm just reading through the book of Deuteronomy, and this struck me as, that is so interesting. God did not give through Moses a complicated, set up a school, educate people in theology. He said, fathers, you talk to your sons and daughters as you arise and as you go to bed. As you walk in the way, as you sit to eat, you instruct your children in the ways of God. Tell them about what God has done for you, for your nation. What has God done? Each of us can answer that in our own ways, from our own memories. What God has done. I have a testimony of healing that happened in a result of prayer for my son when he was a little baby. He's not had a problem since with that we prayed about. It was a hernia, and that hernia went away. But not until I prayed, laying my hand on his little belly and said, Lord, you heal him. Doctors said it might happen, but it wasn't happening. Well, we took his diaper off that evening, and the hernia was no longer there. I have had at least three occasions at which I could have died, and the Lord was there. The latest one, I believe, was when I fell down at the church down the bottom of the hill when I was cleaning the rafters, and my ladder slipped out from underneath me. My daughter's first words when she saw me with the bandaged head is, Daddy, you could have died. I could have died. But you know what I experienced? It was like something was tearing me down. I got two big bumps on the back of my head, one of them an open laceration, but it didn't break anything. And I think God has had his hand on my life to bring me to a purpose at some place that he will have his works in me completed. They're not completed yet. I don't know what else lays ahead, but I do know this. I take courage in God that I'm going to speak for him as I feel led to speak for him. I'm not going to be one who pigeonholes people, but I need to be willing to say, I understand you're struggling. I'm praying for you. Give an opening for people to say, he believes in God. And ask me what more. I mentioned my friend earlier that she's had me pray over a situation a couple of times. Caroline was down the other day, and I just gave her some words of encouragement. She said, thank you, thank you. That's what God's called me to do, to be an encourager. I've known it for the last 6 or 7 years, wondering how does that work with my call to preach the word? How does that work with my calling to teach? You know, some of those doors have closed, but more of something else is coming up, and the Lord has been able to use me. I tried to fix my marriage. I could not. And I think this last year, God started doing a miracle. I know God did a miracle. We're coming up this Saturday on 3 months back together. Praise God. Praise God. Life's going to have its hard times. But don't give in to the complaining or complacency. Don't. Rise up daily with the prayer in your heart, God, make me a blessing today. Then go out expecting it. God, make me a blessing today. You can go out then expect it. Don't give up praying for those who do not know the Lord, and do not give up sharing your life witness with family, neighbors, co-workers, or even that boss who is difficult. Sometimes we have bosses that are difficult. Sometimes we have bosses that will say something abruptly, and it's like we could take it the wrong way. I have co-workers that complain about one of our managers. I get along with him great. It's just when he speaks and says, do something, pay attention and do it as quickly as you're able to. He has that power. He has that authority. Do it. But I know that it's hard at times when you've got your own plans and something comes up. But God uses even the difficult situations to teach us to trust him. Bless those people around you. Be Christ among them and seek that they will know him. Amen. My message, if it hasn't been clear, is God has a plan for us, and we are to not let anything sway us from fulfilling it. God's called us to be his witness. He's called us to have power. He calls for us to pray as we feel weak and know that he's there. He calls to us as water calls to water. Come, refresh. One verse I will add to what I had prepared. Isaiah 40. At the end of the chapter, it says, those who wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles. When we need refreshing, God gives the refreshing. Do not give up or give in. Have courage. Amen.